Good morning.
Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Anyone else want to say hello?
I think we're the only ones this morning so far.
Oh, my goodness. Is it hot out there?
It has been.
Yeah.
It's supposed to get a little bit cooler, so I'm thankful.
Yeah.
But after being down in Phoenix for 3 days, last week, a week ago, I decided that this was just quite tropical.
I see. I have to tell you, my sister was just here this last weekend, and they did a trip, I forget when it was, out to your part of the world, and they mentioned Utah in particular, how gorgeous it is.
Yeah, everybody needs to come see us.
Yeah. They'll stay with you, right?
That's right.
There you go.
We'd find a clothespin on a wall someplace.
Bring your sleeping bag.
That's right.
Who just joined us?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. Who else wants to say hello? Quiet people today. Okay. So anybody have any questions, thoughts, or concerns? Okay, well, we don't need a call in today. I'm going to get my list, actually.
Just so that you know, just for informational purposes, I created a new link on allswell.org last night. Actually, two new links. One is for links to wellness previews, that kind of thing, like from Kathy Dolman, Rick Murphy, Jerry White, things like that.
I am in awe of what you do.
So just so that you, if you have time and you look and you need something or you want some information or send somebody to a wellness preview, it might be a good place for you.
So allswell.org is the place to go.
Yep. Just down towards the bottom there under it, one says, what did it say? I forgot, I created it last night. I can't even remember what it was. Isn't that crazy?
You are amazing.
Just crazy. Let's see.
Well, thank you so much for everything you do for all of us.
Freedom Night, it says.
Freedom Night?
Freedom Night.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what we want is freedom.
That's true. In more ways than one, right?
That's right. So, from health and wealth. So, I'll go on mute. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Steve. Somebody else just came on?
Yeah, good morning. This is Jolene.
Good morning, Jolene. How are you?
I'm good.
Somebody else want to say hello?
Good morning, Nancy. It's Maddie.
Maddie, I've been wondering where you are. How are you?
Great, great.
Good. Anybody else? Okay, I have an article. Oh, here it is. Interestingly, we talked about this yesterday on the call, and I forgot that I had marked an article in our Sunday paper, and I remember I didn't read the article, and I did. Oh, here's where I saw that list. Okay. Title of the article, New Research Elevates Merits of Vitamin D. And we talked about this on yesterday's call. I did not read the article, but here's where I saw that chart of how much, well, at least it lists them, how much to take. Some health experts say people should consume at least 600 IUs of vitamin D per day, with an upper limit of 10 thou. Current recommendations of vitamin D intake are age 49 and younger, 200 IUs a day. Pregnant and lactating women, 200 IUs a day. Ages 50 to 70, 400 IUs a day. 71 and older, 600 IUs a day, with an upper limit of 2,000 IUs per day. And you might have seen a chart someplace. Well, not a chart, they just listed. And this is, I think, pretty good information that we need to have. Once I read this article, if there's something that jumps out at me, I will let you know, but I was falling asleep watching TV last night. I thought, this is ridiculous. Go to bed, Nap. So I did. So anybody have any questions about anything?
No, I saw Katie Couric last night, and she had a doctor on, and that's exactly what they were talking about, vitamin D.
Uh-huh.
And she said from 600 to 1,000. And if your foods or whatever you're eating or whatever, cereal, you can get it. They say you can get it from a few places. I don't know. I didn't go and check my cereal boxes or anything like that. If that has it, it's fine. If not, most people need to supplement their diets with the vitamin. So Katie Couric said, well, I will take that into assessment, and I will look into it, and I will think about putting that into my, into her thing that she takes.
Did they mention sunshine?
They did not mention sunshine.
You are kidding.
Vitamin D. That's all they said.
You are talking about...
They did not think about going outside for 15 minutes.
Can you talk about vitamin D without the sun?
I don't know.
Especially in the summer.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
The only thing, well, you know something now, I'm thinking maybe you should try a little something, because if you're going outside in the sun, you know, you get the cancer, you know, with the, from the rays.
Of course.
They mention that part of it.
I do.
Yeah. Not that you can get the vitamin D from
here. Interesting.
Well, the vitamin companies are pushing vitamins, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
How do you know how much vitamin D you get from the sun? If we're talking IUDs and...
Mm-hmm. IUD?
You know,
IUs.
How much do you get from the sun?
What I've heard from multiple sources, you know, different doctors on TV or in the, you know, being quoted in the newspaper, anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes a day. However, and this is my own little caveat to add, if you are fair-skinned, do not start at the upper limit, because yes, you will burn, and that's what you want to avoid. I remember hearing someone say, when your skin starts to turn pink, you've had enough. So, you know, 10 to 20 minutes a day, and some people I've even heard say three times a week, but if you do store D, I believe, and if you can do it every day, you know, once you start, well, if you start in the spring, for those of us who live above Atlanta, the sun is not as strong if you're starting early anyway. And that's my interpretation. Anybody else have anything else to add to that?
I read that dark skin doesn't absorb as much as
Correct.
White skin.
Correct.
So they need longer periods of time.
That's true.
In my book I was reading, it was interesting because that was right where I was when everybody was talking yesterday in
mm-hmm.
the book on vitamin D, and there's one paragraph on it, and he says that D deficiency is an epidemic causing muscular skeletal pain and inflammation, as well as risk factors for cancer, depression, diabetes, mellitus, autoimmunity, cardiovascular, and other serious health problems.
True.
The measurement of 25 OHD or a treatment with 2,000 to 4,000 IU of D per day for adults is indicated with muscular skeletal pain. This author initially proposed that optimal D status correlates with serum 25 OHD levels of 40 ng/mL. Whatever that means. I don't know the difference between the IUs and the mLs. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, one's a milliliter and one's international unit. And
yeah, 265 mLs.
Yeah.
For the past few years, evidence and experience of accumulation in favor of allowing even higher serums as the upper limit, perhaps 100 mL to 250 mL. So what they're saying is there's a call for more.
Mm-hmm. And it's a hot topic right now. Did any of you guys on the West Coast happen to watch Good Morning America yesterday with that segment?
I missed it.
They did. I remember them saying something about that you can OD on it,
mm-hmm.
on taking supplements. So, you know, you don't want to start with 10,000 IU.
I find it interesting, and that's an important point, Nancy. We need to remember that supplements are supplements. they're to supplement what we don't naturally get. And if we naturally get it from food and from sunshine, that's where we need to be focusing on first.
Well, right now, the best way to get it is sun.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
and I'm frankly not afraid of the sun, and I think that it's, I'll put myself out there. We know how much junk is in the creams and stuff we put on our skin. And sunscreens are a drug. The stuff in the sunscreen is a drug. So do we want to be lathering ourselves up with that? Kids, people don't go out in the sun anymore unless they're covering themselves from sunshine. They stay in the house all day long and play video games. We're under fluorescent lights in front of TV sets absorbing all that junk. We're not getting the natural good sources we need. Even our children, they're not outside playing.
I heard something yesterday that was shocking. They were saying that we hadn't had rickets around for years, or for a long time anyway, but now the children are showing up with rickets, which is a lack of D, so.
Even when they're in school and they have phys ed, or any, they don't even go out for gym anymore.
A lot of schools have cut gym because of funding.
And recess.
Mm-hmm.
And they use recess as a, you know, as a punishment for kids. You can't go out for recess because you weren't behaving. That's what the kids need, to get up and get rid of some of that energy in the sunshine.
And there's evidence that you learn through movement.
Mm-hmm.
So when kids have to sit still, or people have to sit still all day long, there's no movement, there's no learning.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be moving to really be grasping what you're getting, to lock it in.
Yeah, this is Darlene. I just went over what I'm taking from Neekin, you know. And so there's 600 I use in Mega 4. There's of D, of calcium. In the calcium, there's 200. And in the osteodense, there's 400. So that's 1,200 I use.
Which is more than we need, according to this chart.
Well, I thought it said, well, for myself, it said 600 to 2,000.
Are you over 71?
Oh, no.
So
I'm
50 to 70 is 400.
Oh, okay.
Okay. 71.
It said 4,000 I use.
With a limit of 2,000.
2,000 to 4,000.
Yeah, this is Karen. I've heard 3,000, which puts it in the middle of the 2 to 4. But everybody needs that.
An upper limit, they say.
They were saying that we need it daily because of the lack of not having it in our foods, not having it, people not going outside, just multiple reasons why we need the D's. But you, again, you do have to be careful. I know you mentioned that it is like you can't overdose on it too. You know, that's muscle testing. Just test and see what you need. And you know, in the winter, you're going to need more than you do in the summer.
Right.
And just muscle test and see where you're at.
Does the D have anything to do with the bone density, Karen?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, this is Anita.
Thank you. I just thought of that.
Karen, what's the difference between the IU and the ML? I know when this is 100 to 250 ML or 2,000 to 400 IU. Is that...
I'm not sure. I think the ML is the milliliters and the IUs are the units, I believe. But I'm not sure on that.
So the units are a lot, you need a lot more than the ULs. It looks like more than double.
Let me check my D here that we've got and see how it's charted.
Because I was reading our vitamins, our NECAM vitamins, and they're listed in different categories, ULs, IUs.
It could just be their choice of how they're going to list it.
Well, my tendency is just to look at the number and go, okay, that's it, but that number doesn't much unless you know what number it is.
Milliliters is usually a liquid measurement, and the other one is a dry measurement, huh? I'm not sure.
Well, I'm thinking it's like cups or ounces. If I have 4 cups, that's a lot different than 4 ounces.
Dry.
Oh, sure.
Now, the D's that we take has an IU on it, and it's 4,000 for 2 tablets. And I know I started out with that, and it was too much for me. I had to back way off.
It's 400 for two tablets, isn't it?
400.
He said 4,000, okay.
Oh, those are just D?
5,000.
That's just the D? It's a D
that's
vitamin?
It's D3. It's Nature's Sunshine D3. And, but that's just, it's 4,000 I use.
How did you react that you knew that you had to back off, then?
It was just too much on me. It was just not making me feel right. It's just, but I do get out in the sun, too, though, so I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. And so I'm probably one that, I haven't gone back on them here for a while because I do get out in the sun. But my sister that lives with me, I give it to her on a daily basis. And I only give her one, and she gets 2,000 I use a day with it. And she's fine with that.
Low bone density, though, are you?
Yeah.
You are dealing with a low bone density?
I'm not, but my sister is.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, she is. So, yeah, I just had her out at Solomon's last week, and she has a history of osteoporosis, and so she's on the osteodense and the calcium and, you know, all the above. And the vitamin D, and he said on a scale of 1 to 10, she's halfway, she's 5, which still is not good. So I'm not sure where I'm going to head with this right at this point, but, you know, she's been on magnesium. Magnesium is also another way of working with bone density.
Has her bone density improved with everything you're doing?
Oh, yeah, it's improved, okay. Definitely. I just don't know whether I need to bump the magnesium up a little, the vitamin D up. I'm not sure which one. I'm gonna be testing her today.
Have you looked at the vitamin K?
No, I haven't. And that kind of worries me with her because she has a history of blood clots. So I have to be careful with the vitamin K with her.
I thought it was so it coagulates more. It doesn't go the other way.
Right, it's a thickener.
Thickener, okay, thank you.
And for instance, somebody who's like a bleeder, they would be one that you would want to check and see if they could handle vitamin K, because that would be a thickener for them. Person who has a history of blood clots, you definitely don't want them on a lot of vitamin K. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions or thoughts?
Nancy, I don't have any questions or thoughts.
Maddie, wait. Somebody has something playing in the background. Could they please mute? Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Maddie. Sorry.
Over the weekend, I saw the movie Food, Inc., finally. And it was more like a Michael Moore type of a movie, more like a documentary. It was very, very interesting. But and very, very eye-opening, and it does tell you how most of our food comes just from a few companies, not from all of those products that we see in the supermarket. We think we'd have a whole lot of companies doing a lot of different things, and they were going on about the corn and the farm-raised fish, which now they're feeding them corn, and they're feeding corn to cattle. And it was. Have you seen this movie?
I have not. Is anyone else?
Well,
I get you.
Okay. Well, as I said, it was very, very interesting and very, very eye-opening.
Yeah.
And one of the things, though, that was also very, very scary in a way that these huge conglomerate, giant food companies, the hold that they have over small farmers and they did things about pigs, I think cows and chickens. And anybody, the farmers that are in those fields, these few companies, and if you're working with these few companies, boy, they're so, you know, like they took Oprah to the court for saying she would never eat a hamburger. They have the same hold on the farmers, and they're not allowed to do but just whatever they say. So it's almost like you have these huge companies that have such a hole, you don't have any whistleblowers because they will bring you down to your knees, meaning they will either take their contracts away, they will almost have you go into foreclosure on your farm and lose everything you've gotten. So it's kind of scary. It's almost like Microsoft is in the computer industry. That's the way these companies are in the food industry. And it's amazing. They kind of say that all of this started with McDonald's. And they almost want to put it right at McDonald's feet because of the fact that when McDonald's started, so they had one person do one thing, so therefore these people that work for them are very low paid because all they do is one thing. It's not as if they get fired or let go, they're going to have some, you know, void in their production line. Because it's McDonald's, they said what they did was with the hamburgers, all they do is have one person put the pickles on, one person put the ketchup on, one person, you know, did the bun in the production line.
Sounds like an assembly line.
It is. And that's the way you saw the chickens there. And this one woman, I guess they didn't want, of course, any filming. And this one woman was refused to put her chickens in a dark room. That's how they wanted them to be. And, of course, they closed her down. They took their contract away from her. But they showed what was really fascinating. They showed a chicken between 1970 chicken breast and the chicken breast today. And the chicken, because of the fact that people are now wanting white meat as opposed to the dark, they made the white meat grow, you know, by hormones grow faster. And so now they have the chicken breasts are so large, the chickens, poor little chickens, couldn't even walk. They would walk and they would die, some of them. And when they died, they just took them and threw them away, you know. And it was just unbelievable that in the inhumane to the animals, it's unbelievable. And of course, the solution was to buy organic, and also buy near where you know live in the farms where you are. And of course, organic is, I still say they're very expensive because I saw a watermelon the other day, $9.49 for a little itty bitty organic watermelon. It's unbelievable.
Isn't that
what
we don't have to worry about that anymore, huh?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. It was a fascinating movie. Get a chance to see it. I think it's worth seeing. Yeah.
Did they mention anything about Monsanto?
Yeah, they did. Monsanto, they mentioned Tyson's Farms, and they mentioned just a few of them, how big they are. They mentioned a lot of the chemical plants, and I have never seen, have you ever seen this Fast Food Nations? Wasn't that a movie also?
Yeah.
I never saw that one either. I didn't see that one. But I guess it must be similar.
I've gone through that on TV. So is In Defense of Food, is a book and also on CD.
DVD or CD?
CDs. Audio book.
Oh. Because I have the DVD of the other one.
In Defense of Food?
The other one.
What, Fast Food Nation?
Fast Food Nation, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably do it on both. I've got the CD tracks.
Yeah.
We listen to them a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you know, you just, the eating DVD is a capsule overview of the whole thing of what you just described, Manny. And that's probably done more to turn people's heads in a two-hour span, you know, overview of all of it. And then, of course, being up here in upstate New York, I mean, you really see what that means to the farmers because this was farmland, and I'm saying was small farmland. Now it's, you can drive for miles and miles and see, since it is the distribution center for cream cheese for Kraft, all over the United States, the only distribution center. It's all processed here. It's just miles of controlled by Kraft Foods for their cows, and the corn, little did I know until, Sunday afternoon when we went for a drive with two of the old locals here, and they explained so much of it to us that all the corn I was seeing is not for human consumption. It's all for the cows that they feed here to get the milk, the Holsteins, to get the milk to produce the cream cheese that goes feeds the entire United States.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, cows are not made to be eating corn. They were saying cows are not made to be eating corn. They're supposed to be eating grass, not corn, you know, hay and grass.
Right, and the corn they're feeding them is not what is, you know, even fit for any consumption, you know.
They eat the whole corn, the whole stalk and everything. They shred that up.
Right, it's silage corn, yes. And, you know, all of that is grown right here in this area, so... of course, I have yet to have seen a ear of yellow corn because it would be impossible.
I just had an interesting thought. So with what you're just talking about, with the cows and what they're feeding them, it's like Gigo, garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly.
Just like on the computer. Isn't that interesting? Wow.
Yep, I wouldn't want to be eating it. Another reason to do
it. And also, you have to get the corn from... I forgot the name of the company, from one company. And if you're not allowed to replant your corn. And if you do that, they come down on you with the lawsuit that you are infringing upon their patent or something. This one fellow, some old fellow, he used to leave his house at 2 or 3 in the morning. He had some corn that he had to need a corn cleaner. And he was one of the few that was left in the smoothie. And he went and he had a few customers. But eventually they have police to go out to these farms to make sure that you are using their corn and not replanting corn from the previous season that has been cleaned. Why, I don't know. Well, but anyhow, they turned this guy in. They found him and they turned him in, and he was literally, he was so hurt because he says he had known these people for over 50 years, and they had gone back into his checks, you know, his records for the last 10 years and gotten all his checks that he'd ever written out of his account. And, of course, they closed him down. Wants to sell sterile seeds that are usable for one season only.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could not continue to use what's left for the next year.
Right.
Daddy,
that's probably what that was about.
Mm-hmm. Daddy, didn't you get one of those DVDs from me that was called You're Eating What? When I mailed them out?
Yes, I did.
Okay, now, the reason I'm asking you this is, I just went back through mine. I heard things on there, knowing what I know now, I heard things on there that caused me to start putting that in people's hands, like they ask you to. Go back through it again and listen to it and see what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's amazing what I missed when I went through it several times at the beginning, when I first heard it. Now, I've got a whole different picture in my mind of what I'm hearing. Because of what we have lived here and just information. It's called, you know, repeat education, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Every time I hear something.
I think you'll find it very interesting. At least I certainly did.
Yeah. But it's very scary. It's almost like, I don't know, sometimes you see these scary movies like The Planet of, not The Planet of the Apes, but you see these mutant people or whatever it is on this, I'm talking just a regular movie, and you are the only one out there. So how can you survive when you have all these forces? And it's all money. Everything is money, 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 you know? And I don't know, a friend of ours, of course, when we used to live in New Jersey, used to say about McDonald's, Burger King, he said, you know something? They're just thin in the herds. There's too many of us living on the earth, so now they have these things, and we used to laugh at them. But he may have had something there where he said, this just fitting the herds with the foods that they're feeding us, that they were eating. There's no way that they can be doing this not knowing and thinking it's the right way to go. And it all has to do, I'm sure, with money.
Yep.
And one of the things is, they said, I think, was the fact that how they, by the foods and the fast foods, we really are dividing the rich even further with the food, the rich from the poor. And I can see that, because the rich has the money to go out and buy that $9.45 watermelon, or they have the money to go out and go to special farmers or have people, even certain restaurants, even make their own spices and grow it in their own little forms and everything, but everybody cannot afford to do that. So that does kind of divide. That gives a further divide between the top and the bottom.
I'd like to throw a monkey wrench into that thought. I'd like to throw a monkey wrench into that thought.
Me too.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that we're dividing the rich from the poor. I believe it's a mindset that people have. A lot of people think, if I go to McDonald's, I'm going to eat cheap. If I'm going to go to fast food, that's cheap. Let's stop there. My husband and I have been going out to dinner as recreation for years, and we discovered we can eat just as cheaply on a healthy meal at a restaurant and enjoy ourselves when we're careful about what we order. We never order two meals. We never order hors d'oeuvres. We split a meal. They serve way too much anyway. And we still bring home food. And if we don't eat out, the cost of not eating out is so much less expensive than going to McDonald's all the time. My mother grew up in the Depression, and she told me they ate beans, taters, and biscuits. And then the next dinner, they would eat taters and beans. And that's all they ate, but they ate very cheaply, and they grew their garden, and they had their chickens, and they had their cows. And she grew up very healthy and very cheap. And she never went to McDonald's. She didn't even have an ice cream until after she graduated high school. So there's a mindset, in my opinion, that potato chips, cookies in a bag, and junk food is cheap.
Or tastes good.
I have to disagree with that.
Or even tastes good after your taste buds have changed to something that is really, really what your body wants.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's mindset, but to get the mindset, I think it's education, too. Would you agree?
It's education, yeah. No. My husband eats these granola bar things and feeds the dog half most of it when he's eating it. And I was hungry yesterday, and I didn't know what to get, so I grabbed one, and I took a bite and had to spit it out. It was so chemical tasting. It was horrible. And it's supposed to be a healthy, nutritional granola bar. But
I feel sorry for the people that haven't been subjected to the education. Just like what you saw, Maddie, and started you thinking in a different way than what you had. And it takes repeatedly. It's not one thing or from one place. You ought to have heard, or maybe some of you did hear. Did any of you hear Clinton on his proposal and what he was talking about with how we're treating health care? The only country in the world that has the bill for health care, there's none others like us that have that kind of an amount. And he said, we're half again as much. I mean, the billions, I made notes on it. I don't have it in front of me. And he said, are you thinking prevention? And doing the right things now are expensive? He says, He says, how are all these other countries existing with the programs they have on a fraction of what we're spending on health care? He says, because we're going about it backwards. And he laid it all out. He says, don't ever, ever consider that prevention is expensive. Prevention is not expensive. And it's our only way of turning around, and everything that's being proposed is, you know, not going quite from the right direction of what's happening. No, it was, I mean, it was just like, my goodness, I could not believe some of the things. I didn't hear the whole thing, so, you know, somebody else may have heard different parts of it. But there's enough knowledge out there if people can just begin putting it together. And yes, I'm anxious to see it after what you said, because that gives me the opportunity to then share it with other people if I've seen it. If I haven't seen it, you know, I'm not saying it the same way.
And McDonald's is not cheap anyway.
No, it's a simple analogy I always use is compare a bag of potato chips to a bunch of bananas, and what are you getting for food value and what's it costing you?
Or just to a 10-pound bag of potatoes.
Yeah, right. Or even how it's filling you up, you know,
yeah.
Same thing. And the organic part, you'll find that when you go to a farmer's market, which are probably in every city, scattered throughout every city in the United States by now. I can't imagine a city, I mean, the little even towns that won't have farmers markets, where the things are coming from local areas, and it's a fraction of what you go to the store and pay for it. And you can walk around and ask the people. A lot of them are raising without the pesticides and the herbicides, but they're just not registered with the government to be organic. And you can ask those questions, and, you know, yes, people could lie to you, but I think for the most part you'll find out that most of them are telling the truth.
Good food for thought, that's for sure.
I think it's also a crutch that people who don't want to give up bad food rely on. It's like, oh well, it's too expensive. I have to still eat this. You know, I've made up that excuse about a candy bar. Oh, I'm really hungry. I think I need this. You know.
Or even the same thing with cooking, when, you know, you suggest, start with a bag of beans instead of a tin can, so one, you don't get the sodium, two, you get something that's much fresher, three, you get something that tastes better, but, you know, don't want to put the effort into it, and you can hardly justify that it's going to take all that much time, except that if you don't spend any hours at home, you wouldn't be there to, you know, let them soak maybe overnight or for an hour.
We have to get familiar with it and make it part of the habit.
That's a choice.
Because if we're not familiar with, we won't do.
Since we have a few minutes left, I just want to bring up some of the points that were on the program I listened to on Saturday morning. He continued. Last week I missed everything about your healthy gut, but he continued to talk about it this time. And he said it's important to replenish the healthy bacteria in your gut when you're taking antibiotics. Otherwise, opportunistic microorganisms are going to take over again. You need healthy bacteria. And he talked about pre- and probiotics. I forget which the lactoferrin is. Does somebody... No? Is it a pre or a pro?
It is a pre. I'm sorry, it is a pre, yes.
Thank you. I was hoping you were going to be there to tell us that. Okay. Prebiotics increase the healthy bacteria. They're food for healthy bacteria in your gut, actually, the prebiotics are. It's important to have high-fiber food. Again, it's bacteria's food. The prebiotics feed the probiotics. Pro is life-giving. That's what pro means, actually. Antibiotic is against life. Cancer, allergy, asthma, all need healthy bacteria, as well as healthy bacteria lowers your cholesterol. You treat diarrhea with probiotics. After antibiotics, with good, let me see if I know what I'm saying here. After antibiotics, you have a lower good bacteria, and diarrhea can result. That's what it comes from, because the bacteria count is down. Good Morning America, he quoted, said 50% of kids given probiotics don't, their fever goes away. A third didn't have, or they didn't get fevers. That's what it was. They didn't get fevers. A third didn't, this is during the winter, didn't have coughs or runny nose. More than 80% not taking the probiotics has increased respiratory infections. So it's important to keep the guts healthy.
Probiotics are the fiber? What's probiotic?
Probiotic means life-giving.
Lactoferrin prebiotic.
Right. There, you can also take, I know, a supplement that is a pro. Where did I read about the pro? Wait a minute.
The probiotics have the live bacteria in them.
Life-giving, he said.
Yeah, that should be your good bacteria.
Prebiotics feed the probiotics. You treat diarrhea with probiotics.
Yeah, give them the bacteria so it gets rid of the bad bacteria.
Exactly, and the good. I don't know. He didn't specifically say what gives us the probiotics. Healthy bacteria then. I think that may be like yogurts that have the acidophilus.
Mm-hmm. I think that is what is supposed to be active in your gut at all times, and you, when you're low, you do just exactly what you said, Nancy. It's like yogurt, your cultures, your fermented.
It's important to have increased fiber food. This is what you were asking, maybe, Brenda, because that's bacteria's food. So, yes, it gives you what you need with that. I just want to finish. You said the study was done by a company who makes probiotics. Now, you know, we've talked about finding out who's doing the study, and that was his comment, so I'm not sure what he was saying. Majority of your immune system is in your gut. Healthy bacteria can lower your fever by 50%. Take probiotics to prevent the flu. Probiotics increase healthy bacteria that increase your immune system. So I'm thinking that he must have been talking about taking a supplemental probiotic, but certainly adding fiber to your diet will help improve and increase the probiotics that's their food. So he just really has said for years, I've heard him talk about the gut, your colon, your whole, you know, system there is where your health or disease all start. So hopefully you got a little bit out of what I just rambled through.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Anyone have any questions, thoughts, or concerns? We are at the bottom of the time. You're welcome. Thanks to everybody for participating. We had some good discussions going on here this morning, and I really appreciate all that. Have a good day, and we'll be back tomorrow with Brenda.
Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.